This morning, the passage that we are dealing with is the end passage or the last conclusion of Sermon on the Mount. Sorry, I'm... And Jesus is finishing the sermon that he started in chapter 5. And then he spoke about a lot of different things. The famous passages in this three chapters that we often talk about is the Beatitude that he starts his sermon with. And then there's a Lord's Prayer in between. These two passages we haven't dealt with in our sermon series, but then we have tried to deal with other different subjects that Jesus was talking or sharing with the people. And we titled the sermon series, Everything Everywhere Matters. Why? Because our lives are meant, we are meant to be living our lives that glorifies God and worships God in everything that we do. Football season is on. Imagine, in last night's match, I don't know how many of us watched that. We were here till 1 o'clock. Harry Kane got the ball, and he's representing England. And he is, for most of the time in the match, he represented England really well. And he played, I'm not really talking about his game yesterday, imagine. And he played really well. And suddenly at a point in a match, he decides, no, I don't want to go run towards that goal. I want to run towards this goal. And he takes the ball rather than towards the opponent's side, to his own side, and scores the goal. That would be very weird, wouldn't it? He would not come back to the UK. I don't know till when. Because that would be a own goal is such a disastrous thing to happen in life. But my dear church family, that is how we live our lives. We say, I believe in Christ, and yet we live a life that represents so many other things in life. We, every now and then, do our own, or kick into our own goalposts and say, yay! We don't realize that we are not living a life for Christ. And we should be reflecting Christ in everything that we do. So as the sermon series comes to an end this morning, and as we continue to focus on God's word, my question that I would love for you to think about, even as we go out, not now, once I finish my sermon and everything else, how is God being reflected in and through my life? Where is God seen? We have said this again and again, that everything, everywhere matters. Being at Tesco matters, being at your own home matters, being at your workplace matters, being at your school matters. Because that's where we have an opportunity to share Christ through our lives. Focusing on this passage, as always, before I jump into what I have to share this morning, I would love to give a very quick opportunity. If anybody wants to share a verse or a thing that is from the passage that you would like to share with the church family this morning. The passage was read to us. You know, it talks about reading God's word, listening and doing and living on strong foundation.
So it occurred to me.
It's on.
It's on. Okay. So it occurred to me that you have these two different people. One is taking his time and building something worthwhile and something valuable, and you know, and it takes a long time to establish foundations and to do things properly, but it's worthwhile. The other guy is thinking, oh, I can do that real quick. He's a twit, that guy. You know, he's taking too long of building his house. I'll just do this real quick. But then when disaster strikes, his thing collapses because he's got no substance to it. So sometimes we might be in a bit of a rush to achieve our aims thinking, I just want it to look pretty, I just want it to look great. But actually, that's not necessarily the aim. It doesn't have to look great and beautiful. But once you've got the basics and you've got the firm foundation that Jesus is talking about by building your house on the rock, spending time with him, learning from him, living with him, learning what he's doing and building your house, it will be beautiful anyway, and it will stand up against the storms that will come. You won't be like the man that falls down, his house collapses. But then maybe he'll come and visit you because he knows you're good, you know?
Yes. In the storm, someone might just come to a house then.
It kind of follows on from that, but I was thinking that kind of reminded me of a link to the story of Noah and how people would have like teased him for spending all that time building a boat. I guess I was imagining that someone might have really teased the man, like digging through rock and saying, why are you spending all this effort digging through the rock when there's like much easier ground? But yeah, I guess like Jenny said that yeah, we're doing it because we know that's what God's telling us to do, and that yeah, that we trust in God even if it doesn't seem to make sense in a worldly way.
Thank you. I said once. So you spoke once, Margaret. Thank you. The reason we do this exercise is because we learn together. It is not just my responsibility to come and speak from God's word and understand it and share it, but it is a learning because we are a family. And we learn from each other. So I'm never scared. So if you're thinking, oh, if I say this, that would be a point of a sermon. I'm never thinking that. It's fine. Let's just repeat the same thing. Because we learn and memorize things when things are repeated. Jesus is concluding his sermon. So he started his conclusion, a very long conclusion. Jesus started right from the verse 13, where he talks about two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate. Then he talks about the tree and its fruit. We spoke about false prophets and true prophets and false disciples and true disciples. And finally, as Jesus is letting them go, Jesus is telling them again that this is what you must do. That you must do what you're listening to. Ollie, can I please have my all-revealing slide? Thank you, Ollie. Now, when Jesus is sitting there and concluding his sermon, it was all easy for those people to understand what Jesus was saying. When he said, whoever listens to my words. Because he had a specific text, he spoke with them for about whatever length of period he spoke with them. And then he said, what all I've just told you now, if you do that and live your life, then you're like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. But for us this morning, Jesus is not just talking about those three chapters. Jesus is not just saying, oh, chapter 5, 6, and 7 is what, it's the only stuff that you need to do. But I must say that all these things that Jesus is talking about in these three chapters is very well linked and connected to all the biblical teachings that we see. And I think I often remind the church family of this, none of our beliefs should be based on a verse or a passage. Just because somewhere in the Bible it says once, that does not mean that is a biblical teaching. For us to believe that is what the biblical teaching is, we need to see what the Bible is talking about, the same subject in different passages. And that's where we draw out a biblical principle or a biblical teaching from that. Now, Jesus, when he was talking to them, he was telling them to listen to these words. Now, this morning, if I happen to speak, why we must read God's word. And there can be so many different reasons that we can run through. But there's one reason that I would like to highlight this morning, that why we should read God's word, because it enables us to see God's work in our life and in the life of others. When we read God's word, when we know how God works in people's life, how God works in our communities, how God works in our society, when things happen, they no more just become coincidences, they become God's incidences in our lives and in the life of people. Now, when Jesus was telling them, Jesus was not telling them these things, and they thought, oh, that is a wonderful thing, Jesus. That is so lovely. We are so liking this, what you're saying. No. Their reaction was, their reaction must have been of shock and surprise and amazement of, oh, why is he saying what he's saying? Or why is he saying it in that way? Because Jesus was not just repeating to them what they have been listening forever in their life, but Jesus was giving a new meaning and new understanding to what they have heard and learned about God thus far in their life. We said when we were going through different topics, we said Jesus is adding the complete meaning to all those things that he is talking about. So, if we avoid reading the Bible because it pokes us in our life and say, oh, that reminds me of things that I should not be doing, or that reminds me of the ways that I should not be living, and therefore I don't read the Bible, then let me tell you, my dear friends, that we must read the Bible, because that is what Bible is meant to do. Bible is not written to... What's the word? Bible is not written to approve, in a way, of the life that we live and say, oh yes, my dear child, you're doing a brilliant life. Whatever you're doing is really brilliant. Just continue to live like that. There's no need for you to change. You are a brilliant person. That is not the purpose of life. The purpose of Bible is to show and help us understand how we should be living our life the way God wants us to live. And therefore, when we read God's word, it should help us reflect, analyze, and think, and help us to change the way we live our life. It did for those people. It must do the same thing for us. Many a times in our lives, we think, oh, Bible is just there to guide me in my spiritual walk. It just talks about how God is and how should I live my life with God. But I'll tell you, my dear friends, it is a very narrow understanding of God's word. If you love reading books on different topics, there are so many principles of leadership, so many principles of counseling, so many principles of business, so many principles of so many principles from the Bible that has formed the basis of the laws that countries have made. The moral ethics of the Bible has inspired many people, even though they were not Christian. Or even though they didn't walk with Christ. And therefore we need to expand our understanding about the Bible, thinking, oh, Bible is just for my spiritual life with the Lord. No, it is not. It is at the core of it, but then it inspires and it guides us through all the different aspects of our life. For example, when we love our enemy, maybe a difficult colleague at work, or maybe a difficult neighbor. It is a biblical principle to love them. But it helps them eventually. Life would have been easy if we just loved them once and they understand, right? It doesn't happen. But eventually they will understand. Even if they don't understand, we are meant to love them. And therefore, my heart really feels, I really feel sad that the whole practice of reading the scripture is almost a vanishing discipline for our personal lives. Now, I'm not going to take a mic all around and ask people the question, but if I happen to ask, when was the last time we read God's word for our own personal devotion? What verse or what passage can we remember that we read when we were reading Bible on our own? How are we going to do if we don't hear? How are we going to live a life that reflects God if we don't read His word? And I completely understand, you know, Bible reading practice. Some people say, oh, you know, Sad, it's really boring for me. Yes, if you suddenly jump to read Book of Prophets, it is going to be boring because sometimes it is difficult to understand. And if you, by mistake, start reading Book of Revelation, you would say, oh no, it is really scary. But I have long concluded that Book of Revelation is nothing but a perfect Hollywood script. You know, every disaster movie in Hollywood, that is the outline. So they have taken this story outline from the Book of Revelation. But Revelation is a great book of hope. But if you're really struggling, and if you think, oh, that's not for me, start reading Gospels. Start reading from Genesis. Read story. That is the best way of getting into the routine of reading God's word. And the habit of taking a devotion or reading God's word in our personal lives differs. What works for me will not and might not work for you. I am of those that group that reads 2-3 chapters together. Some would say, oh, that's wonderful. Someone might read 5 chapters together. Someone would say, oh, one whole chapter. Maybe a small passage works for you. Maybe a small passage with a devotional attached to it works for you. Maybe you just like listening to the scripture. There are n number of options available for us to develop that practice of reading God's word. You choose what works for you. But please, please, please do it. It is not an option, my dear church family. It is one of those things that we must do to continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Again, I would say, if you don't hear God's word, how are we going to live according to it? If you think church will supply all my spiritual needs, church is here to help and walk with you. But we must also do what is needed, and that is reading God's word. We must read God's word because it builds, or it is a solid foundation of our life. You know, one of the very purpose, and all those people who do architects work can correct me here. One of the work of, or the purpose of foundation is to divide the load of the building. It should bear the load of the building so that it gives the stability to the building, right? Yeah, even if I'm wrong, just say yes. Now, but that's one of the purposes of the foundation. And therefore, before you start building the whole construction of a building, you would decide how tall the building is going to be, what's the purpose, and therefore you decide how strong the foundation need to be. Tell you what. See these cracks? in our church building? That's one of the reasons we struggle, because our foundation of the building is not really very solid. And back then, maybe they didn't think of that. But that's the question. If we are not reading God's word, oh, don't worry, building is not going to collapse. Don't worry. Don't get distracted. But that's the question. If we are not reading God's word, and if we are not basing our life on that foundation, then what are we basing our life on? We base our life, people base their lives on careers, maybe. Maybe, once again, the mention of, oh, I'm capable of everything. I, myself, I'm just fine. Maybe our plans in our future, maybe our relationships, maybe the stability of finances that we have. And it might vary for different people in a different way. But my dear friends, none of these elements are the constant present elements in our life. Relationships will change. Financial status might change. Our careers might change. Everything would change. But the word of God would never change. And it creates the right balance for us to live a life that brings God's glory and that brings God's blessings in our life. You know, at the beginning of one of the earlier sermons that we were talking about, we took time to talk about the Ely Cathedral, right? Do you remember that sermon a few months ago? We said we can see Ely Cathedral from far, and we said we can go back to New Market, and we can also see Ely Cathedral from that place, and that's how our lives should be. I know it's a very long gone sermon. And that is what Jesus says that if you put these words into practice, that is how your light shines. Now, one of the things that I love talking about is my journey of learning how to swim. If you have spent a few minutes, a few hours with me, you must have heard this story. I'm learning to swim. And I must say that thus far in life, my experience being in the water hasn't been really great. And if I start telling the story, it would include the word drown. And not once, twice. So very interesting. But I'm learning to swim. So when I told this at the Hive for the first time, they said, are you sure you're comfortable getting into the pool? I said, yes, I'm definitely fine. And I'm fine. I'm not scared getting into the water. And now I'm learning. It has been a few months that I'm learning. There are a few things that I have learned now. I still cannot breathe while I'm doing the front crawl or whatever the call. So I have to stop in between. But I can do the backstroke because I can naturally breathe and I can do my backstroke. I am still struggling to tread on the water. They're teaching me. I'll get there. But the reason I'm telling this is how it is when we start living our life based on God's word. We will struggle at times. We will fail at times. But when we try and when we do it, over and over again, we just do things naturally. Maybe learning to drive a car. If you learn, if you know, enjoy driving the car, you don't sit there on the steering wheel consciously thinking of every move that you make. You just naturally do it. You know, if you're driving a car and something comes in front of your car, you're not going to tell, you don't start thinking, oh, I must put the brake now. Oh, I must do this. Just naturally do it. And the whole process happens. Your hand turns, your steering wheel turns, your leg functions. Everything just naturally happens. And this is what needs to happen when we read God's word and start living life according to that. But it's learning. It has to be deliberate and intentional efforts in our life to do it. When we do it repeatedly, it becomes an integral part of our life. We might fail. Like I drowned again at the hive again. That hasn't stopped me. But we keep doing it. And that's one of the most interesting things when we walk with the Lord, because we are not alone in this journey. God has sent His Spirit for us. We have our own personalized instructor who understands us really well and still helps us walk with the Lord. You know, when I think about this, why? You know, we look at this God's Word. We look at this wonderful creation. We read all these wonderful things that God has done. And we think about all God's love and Jesus Christ coming on this earth, dying for us, and everything. And yet, we don't live our life based on God's Word. You know, one of the reasons of that? We all know it. We don't truly believe on God's Word. And I'm saying we. I'm not just saying you. All of us. We struggle. We look at things and circumstances that are before our eyes, then trusting and believing in the God who is much bigger and stronger than anything that is ever in this world. You know, I love that story of Jesus being in this same boat when disciples was. Yes, Daddy. Where disciples were and Jesus was sleeping, having a rest and nap. And when the big storm happened, disciples forgot. Ooh, what are we going to do now? We are going to drown. What should we do now? What did Christ do? He was asleep. Scolded them. When he woke up, finally he said, he calmed the storm. And that is literally us. Every time we find ourselves in a new situation, we start panicking. Oh, what are we going to do now? What we should do now? We forget that Christ lives in us. Christ lives with us. Christ is walking with us. And therefore, we need to start believing what we read. We need to build our experience of walking with the Lord, with God's Word, and the experiences that we have heard in the history of God, how God enabled people to walk, to do what He wanted them to do. One of the things that I would like to say that we think that when we read God's Word and when we walk with the Lord, our life would be all peaceful and all quiet and all great. You know, Jesus didn't say this passage that if you build your foundation on the rock, you would be like a wise man who builds his foundation on the rock, who would never face any storms or heavy rains, and he would live a peaceful life then. That's not the story. There will be heavy rains. There would be storms that would come in our lives. But because our foundation is God's Word, we will stand firm. We will not be shaken. Situations and circumstances will come that would not go according to our plans for our lives. But in that, knowing that God is with us is the best thing we can remind ourselves of. On the contrary, we cannot also just live our life doing nothing and sitting in a one place thinking, oh, anyway, if it is God who is doing it, why should I be struggling in my life? I'll just sit quiet. God would fulfill His plan. That is not what God is telling us. We should still continue to try. You know, in my words, as I keep saying, throw the stones. You would never know when you hit the jackpot. Oh, that's the new addition now. But then throw the stones. No harm. Try. Keep knocking on the doors. Keep trying. Failures might be there. But knowing that God is with you is the greatest assurance that we can have in our life. And therefore, let's be wise in doing what we read about God's word. Brilliant sermon? Good? I know that. It's going to get brilliant now because the question is, so what? Wonderful information. Wonderful sets of instructions. So what? The floor is again open for the church family to tell us, so what? So what should we do? Please feel free to share. Please raise your hands and I'll come to you. Maybe burn a few calories as we do that. So what we should do?
So give the Lord all of the desires of your heart and leave it up to him, and then focus on praying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but also love your neighbor as yourself and just trying your very best every day to live out the principles of how God tells us we should be like.
Thank you. Thank you, Graham.
I'm not an architect and I'm not a builder, but it's quite clear from what we've heard this morning, what we read this morning, that we need to build firm foundations on rock. I'm thinking to myself, well, I need to learn how to build a foundation properly. Because you said in your sermon, you look at what the building's going to look like and how it's going to be. Then you design and build your foundations properly. So where do you learn how to build the foundations? Well, you look in the book, don't you? You look in the Bible. You look there for the instructions of how to build the foundation. And it's just reminding me that we just need to be aware that we don't know it all, but Jesus knows all our circumstances. He knows what we can and can't do. And he has written us a very good instruction book, which if we read it and understand it, we will learn how to build the foundation firmly on solid ground.
Thank you.
We've got to practice. So we're not going to be good at it straight away. But we pick up our Bible and we pray every day. And prayer needs to be our first port of call, not after you've stressed about something for a week.
Thank you.
I think what strikes me is how utterly exhausting it is sometimes to really trust God. I've been reminded both personally and for a number of people across the church at the moment, you know, when you push doors, as you said, when you trust God, when you seek him with your whole heart, you absolutely know that God is our foundation. But in the human sense, it's really tiring. We trust God and we push doors and sometimes things go our way. Sometimes the answers come and sometimes they don't. And yet, I was reminded a number of years ago with a very tough situation of how the picture that came to mind was reaching a T junction, you know, a T junction, you can go either way. And the decision that I felt was really tangible to me was I either go one way and get really angry with God and say, why us? Why now? Why not this? Or what was happening in this scenario? Or I go the other way and go, God, this is really hard. I can't cope with it on my own. I really need to throw myself on you. And it was a really tangible decision at that point in my life. Thankfully, I did go that way. But I think going back to the Bible and what Liz just said as well is just that picking it up, trusting in God's word, being rooted, digging your heels deep, recognizing it's really tough and we need the support of each other as well. And yet always knowing that God is our absolute rock in it all.
Thank you, Richard. You spoke once, Margaret. Sorry.
I've spoken about 20 times.
No,
but
it's
anyway.
Fine.
So it just occurred to me that I think it's just about just do it. Just start. Whatever you start with, just start, whether it's a tiny thing or a big thing, whatever it is for you, just start. Just do it. I often will say to myself when I'm doing something, oh, I don't want to do that again. And God will just say to me, Jenny, just do it. Just do it. And that's been kind of my little catchphrase and my little kind of mantra, whatever you want to call it, for many, many things in my life and in my world is just do it. Just start. Because once you've made a start, then the chances are you'll do it again, and then you'll do it again, and you'll do it again. And even if you don't, then you go back to just do it. Start it, whatever it is, one verse, one chapter, one book, whatever is your thing. Pick something small if that's all that's manageable, a manageable chunk, and do that. But just do it. Don't compromise. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Thank you, Jenny.
I just want to encourage people who perhaps struggle with lots of Old Testament reading and think, what's the point of this? And perhaps lots of New Testament reading and think, what's the point of this? I don't get it. Something that's really, really helped me, and through working at Tyndale as well has really helped me, is how exciting the historical context of the Bible is. So when you're reading a book, whatever book it is, don't just read it. Try and figure out who wrote it, why they wrote it, what was the culture like, what was the history around what I'm reading. And for me, it's really sort of brought so much to life. And you just can see how God works in history, which is wonderful.
Thank you, John.
I would like to say to people today, build your foundations, because you don't know what's coming next. And I say that from a context where I have been going through a period of huge anxiety, which meant that I couldn't concentrate very much, and also a period where I couldn't read. I lost my sight quite significantly last year. It's a lot better now, but it's not perfect. But in that time where I couldn't get up in the morning and read my Bible, I was digging deep and relying on the years when I had, and thinking, what scripture do I know? What scripture do I know by heart that I can draw on? What do I know about God that I can draw on? Please, please, please read your Bibles. Get to know what's there. Get to know God, what he is, not what just what you'd like him to be, because you do not know what form the storm will take when it comes. In fact, guaranteed, you probably can't predict the form of the storm. And I would add to that that more recently, I've drawn great consolation from listening to Spoken Words No Good, because I would have switched off. But I've drawn great consolation from a sung Bible that I found on the internet. And I'm back listening to my Bible at the moment. But I haven't read a book in over a year. So please, you know, take both sides of that story, the kind of going into it and the going out. And come and speak to me about it if you want. But there's so much to be said for knowing your Bible and finding a way. The time will come when you can find a way to connect with it again. So look forward to that as well.
Thank you. I'll come back to you, Margaret. Sorry.
I think being a Christian without reading your Bible is the same as building a house on the rock and looking at it from outside, saying how beautiful it is, but not actually taking possession of it. And in the Bible, there are so many promises. There's so much guidance. There is so much wisdom in there that will give you the protection against when the storms are coming, when the rains fall and everything like that, when it really is hard being a Christian. All the stuff that's in the Bible there, all the promises of Jesus are there to guide you and support you and provide miracles at the end of the day. Yeah.
Thank you, Tim. Margaret.
You know, when Emily, I heard what Emily say, you got to respect your neighbours and your friends. Mm. And I agree with Emily what she said.
Thank you, Margaret.
This is a tip that really helped me. I wouldn't say read my Bible, because I was always very good at reading my Bible every day, but I found the translation made all of the difference of what I absorbed from the Bible and actually God speaking to me through the Bible. So if you're even if you got the real habit down, but you're struggling and you're like, God, why are you not speaking to me through the Bible? Maybe try experimenting with a different translation of the Bible, because sometimes adjustments like that makes all the difference. And like Sat was saying, like there is a numerous amount, like there is no one right way of doing it. Like God has designed you with a unique way of worshiping him and absorbing his word and his communications. So you just got to lean to God, ask God to guide you, and maybe just experiment until you find something that works for you.
Thank you. You know, I as I wanted to conclude this sermon, I could just think of this childhood song that we learned, which simply says, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, it will melt you, grow. Okay. It will grow. It will grow. Bible, pray every day, and it will grow. See, the Indian version was, it will make you strong. But we grow. Stronger, growing, still together. But that's what it is, my church family. Read. If you want to talk, or if you want a list of devotionals that you can follow, come and talk. Talk to other people in our church family who have shared their own experiences. Pray. Commit your day in God's hands. There is no format. There is no words. There is no must-have things. But with that, pray for others as well. Start. That is, for me, that is the first step of doing what we have been reading in God's word. Pray for people. As I said in the beginning, we don't need to know the whole story. Pray for them. Pray for the opportunities for God to give you. God, maybe it is just what is to be called as water cooler conversations. Where you stand at the water cooler and someone else comes in, then you start talking to them. You don't have to tell them, oh, you know, John 3:16 says this. Just reflecting God's truth in their lives. Do that. And stand firm. Don't let that foundation shake. Because we believe in God who is much more stronger than anything else that is in this world. Let's pray.